Today on Off Mic, no work, no sports, no school. Are you ready for the new normal under COVID-19? We bring you the latest numbers on the coronavirus outbreak in Indiana and what you can do to stay healthy. And what is it like to own a restaurant these days when no one can eat inside? We talk to one Gary restaurant owner. And if you have grab-and-go dinners today, call in later and give us a quick take on your offerings. And even though you're at home, there are still some fun activities you can do. And the Bears have a new quarterback. All this on Off Mic. First, the news. Welcome to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. You know, recently I watched one of my favorite movies from a long time ago called Splash. It's the one about the mermaid. And one of the lines used by the antagonist throughout the movie was, "What a week I'm having." Well, I'm sure you're having a very difficult week as well. The coronavirus or COVID-19 outbreak has turned life in Northwest Indiana, these United States, and the world upside down. Just 15 days ago, Indiana recorded its first COVID-19 case. Today, we're up to 79. So let's go with the numbers as the latest from this morning from the Indiana State Health Department as of this morning. There are 23 new confirmed cases for COVID-19 in Indiana, bringing the statewide total to 79, 554 tested with 2 deaths. Excuse me. Lake County now has 6 cases, up from 4. The total for the 6-county region that make up Northwest Indiana is 7, and 1 in LaPorte County and none in Porter County, although according to the Indiana State Health Department, we do know that Lake County person is being treated in Porter County. And just this morning, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb announced that the state is moving its primary election to June 2nd. Sorry, it's been a long week and we got a lot of frogs in our throat. And joining me today for Off Mic to just go over this incredible week of news and more things that are coming is Lakeshore Public Radio's Tom Maloney. Hey, Tom.
Mike, how you doing?
How are you doing?
I feel like most of Northwest Indiana, I think the nation at this point. I'm restless, I'm stressed, I'm worried, and my hands are starting to dry out from washing them so much, I'll be honest.
You know, though, that's right. You know, earlier this week, believe it or not, because we have been washing it for the 20 seconds, I actually had to put a Band-Aid on my hand because it was getting a little too dry. So we're here where, you know, it's going to be sort of a, fly on the seat of our pants sort of show where we're going to be talking to some folks. We're going to talk to a restaurant owner to see, you know, right now we do know there's a sort of not a lockdown order, but people are being asked, restaurants and bars, that they not eat inside the restaurant. So a lot of restaurants are having takeout. And so we're going to talk to a restaurant owner in Gary and what is it like right now to be in this sort of environment. And then later on, we are going to ask you if you own a restaurant in Northwest Indiana or the South Suburbs to call into our show to tell us what are your specials today, especially for the sort of grab and go. We're hearing a lot of businesses out there that are stepping up those efforts. Even 8th Street Brewery in Hammond has a new delivery service, so you can call and get your booze delivered. So everybody is trying to be creative because, let's face it right now, the jobless claims are going up in Indiana. But before we get to that, earlier, just yesterday, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, who's been talking a lot this week, a lot of news is happening. He talked about how schools are going to be, well, right now they're supposed to be out for 2 weeks. That has been extended. This is what he had to say at a press conference yesterday in Indianapolis about schools.
And therefore directing all schools to be closed until May 1st. As we get nearer to May 1st, we may have to close permanently, but we'll make that call down the road.
That's Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, and we're not done with him yet because, as you know, a lot of companies are scaling back. People are being laid off. We're hearing of a shutdown, of course, at Lear Seating Plant because, well, two workers there, well, at least one worker was confirmed to have a COVID-19 case, and one is suspected his boss, from what we're told. What a gift to your boss, huh, Tommy?
I was going to say, it's not the not the way you want to go ahead and, you know, share the love at a at an office, but... We're hearing reports as well that the Ford assembly plant in Ford Heights also closing, along with the other
Chicago assembly plant. And see, this is how everything is interrelated, especially in Northwest Indiana. The Lear plant in Hammond makes seating for the Ford assembly plant on the south side of Chicago, which is what, not 10 miles away from there. And they're having a cutback, but not just because of that. Ford announced that they are shutting down their plants throughout North America because of COVID-19 for at least a couple of weeks. So that is going to increase jobless claims. And just yesterday, again, Governor Eric Holcomb talked about the difference between just a year ago and this year. This is what he had to say.
You think about earlier this week on Monday, our unemployment rate was reported at 3.1% earlier this week, 3.1%. To put that in perspective, this exact week, a year ago, we had 3,100 Hoosiers file for unemployment insurance benefits this week last year. Over the course of the last 3 days, the same week a year later, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we've had 22,583 Hoosiers file. 3,100 a year ago, 22,000 plus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week.
That's a lot. 22,500 new claims for unemployment, and that number is expected, obviously, to just skyrocket. And the governor knows this, and he's encouraging people that if you've been laid off or out of work because of this, to go to the website for Indiana Workforce Development. If you're looking at me on Facebook, I put a link on there to start the process. They got a lot of great information on there for you to start to file your jobless claims. They got webinars to take you to the entire process. So, Tommy, we've seen here just even close by where we're at, the South Lake Mall, a lot of stores are, everything is just, it's just a crazy new normal.
It really is, and the new normal is shifting the paradigm in terms of how people are interacting, not only amongst themselves, but with businesses. Like you said, we're going to be hearing from some local restaurateurs. Earlier this week, Sharon Jackson had an opportunity to talk with Nick Liapis. We all know him as Chef Nick on Let's Eat. You hear it every Friday at 3 o'clock. Well, his show moving forward is actually going to be best ofs and pre-recorded episodes because he deals a lot with having restaurants come in. He's seeing business suffer. We're all kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, I guess, when it comes to what happens next. Lots of folks are, we've seen the photos, we've seen the videos making runs at grocery stores, whether it's food or toilet paper, as this the coronavirus is kind of turning into.
Yeah.
We've seen the memes shared about that as well. But it's a situation right now that we just don't know what is next. Breaking news happening every couple of minutes, it feels like, in terms of whether it's coming from the state and Governor Eric Holcomb. Of course, you announced earlier or in the show here just a couple of minutes ago about the postponing of the primary till June 2nd, waiting a month instead of May 5th. We're hearing reports daily from President Trump on what's happening with student loan payments and what's happening with this $1,000 check that everybody's supposed to be getting and, you know, waiting on that kind of information.
Right. And I believe they just announced that filing deadline for taxes has been extended for another 90 days. So there's something coming out every day, almost every hour. And we're trying to keep up with it, you know, as best as we can. And, you know, I guess we just can't panic, you know.
I guess for the listeners here, you are the you're the president of the Society of Professional Journalists Indiana chapter. I'm also on the board. I don't know why this organization picked both of us to be on the board, but hey, we're there.
King of the North.
What are you seeing from other journalists? I mean, we're talking with them. You know, we're seeing the folks at IPBS. You're talking with the folks, obviously, over at WBEZ. What are you hearing from them? A lot of them are working from home. They're not going out right now.
That's right, and it is a new normal for reporters. A lot of what we're doing is from home. Going out sporadically, a lot of these press conferences that we're reporting on, it's all being done streamed. Mm-hmm. So if you're an elected official out there, or you have a city council meeting that you have to go to, you better make sure it's streamed online, and you may want to upgrade your microphones, because that will increase the chances that it gets covered. And not only that, for your constituency. You know, people are not being encouraged to show up at a press conference or at a city or town council meeting, but government still needs to function, and we need to see it. So we have the technology for it. There is no excuse for any level of government, whether you're the Stormwater Management Board, mm-hmm. Whether you're the school board, anything, any entity dealing with taxpayer money, you should be streaming that either on Facebook, on some kind of device, on YouTube, and get that information out, because this is now when, you know, we're government, we need to depend on government more than ever to get the information out on water bills, because water bills are still going to be coming, mm-hmm. on sewer bills, utility payments, book rental. A lot of kids are being taught at home, so teachers are having to learn this sort of e-learning on the fly, too.
Right.
So kids still get their everything. So, yeah, as journalists, yeah, we're having to adjust. You see on the TV stations, the anchors
right.
are like
we're
10
far,
feet
we're
away.
Far enough away, right?
That's right.
That 6 feet apart from each other here in the studio.
So we're trying to do our best, and we know you are trying to do your best out there. And it's just, again, it's going to be a new normal until we get the situation with COVID-19 under control. And with COVID-19, with the numbers, we just announced that there are now 79 cases statewide. That number is going to go up. So far, 554 people have been tested throughout the state. The number is going to go up because we are going to have expanded testing. And people have to, on one hand, we don't want to see the numbers go up. But I guess we kind of do, because then we know we have the testing locally that we know of. Franciscan Health in Michigan City has testing on right now, but you need a doctor's referral. There's a number you can look up for Franciscan Health in Michigan City. You go there in your car. You don't get out of your car. Mm-mm. Don't go into the hospital.
No.
Especially if you think you might have coronavirus. So you go there and they take a swab while you're sitting in your car. In a couple of days, they get it checked out there. But you need that doctor's referral. You're supposed to have testing at the Crown Point Hospital very soon. So call there, get the information. It's very easy to look up. I would do it now, but I don't have my cell phone on me right now because we're on Facebook Live talking about this. So
I will say, while you're talking about hospitals, a lot of hospitals in the area are now restricting visitors. They're
right.
not letting people in, whether they're family, friends, whatever. Our prayers go out to NPR reporter Eric Deggans, who many people may not realize he's actually
from
Northwest Indiana. He's from Gary. His mother is in the hospital right now battling illness. I don't want to go into the details about that, but Eric has posted that on his Facebook page. You can see it there. And he was kicked out of the hospital, not able to stay with his mom. And so, you know, you get a lot of worried family members. She's not there for coronavirus, for COVID-19. But, you know, we're hearing about this flattening of the curve and making sure that hospitals can handle the situation, because there are other people out there who are still going to be getting sick. Unfortunately, there's going to be people out there who are going to be getting into car accidents and other types of injuries and illnesses that need hospital beds. They may not be available depending on what kind of a spike we're looking at. And so hospitals are making sure, hey, you know, if you're healthy, or even if you're not, we can't have you in here right now to visit. So along with the testing information, I would recommend at this point probably calling ahead to anywhere that you're going, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a hospital, a grocery store even, to make sure that, you know, they've got the products you're looking for so you're not making a wasted trip out there.
That's right. Eric Deggans, a native of Gary, his father, for a lot of people, the old-timers, Chuck Deggans, a longtime journalist in Northwest Indiana, photographer, great guy. So our prayers go out to him. And you're right, Tommy. Before you head out to your doctor's appointment for anything, really, I'm battling a bum ankle from slipping on ice a month ago. Mm-hmm. And they're telling me, well, you know, you've got a damaged ligament you're going to have to get an orthopedic specialist to take a look at. But you're not going to get it done now. So if you've got some kind of ailment, and look, it's easy for me to say I'm not in serious pain like other people might be facing. You just have to play it smart. And I would also say, too, you're going to have to play it smart with your own family. You got to get a plan now. Is if the mother gets sick or the husband gets sick, mm-hmm. you start feeling flushed, or how are you going to handle that in your household? You start feeling feverish, you may want to right away head down to a basement, take some precautions not to infect your spouse or your children. This is different. And what makes this condition so vicious is that when a loved one gets sick like that, you may not be able to be with them. You may not be able to hold their hand. And that's going to be harder if there's children involved, young people. It's hard enough if a spouse or a mother or a parent or a loved one is involved. But this is a serious time, a different time. But we have to get control of this virus. Look, I know the media has been accused a lot now lately of, you know, just scaring people. We're not trying to do that. We are heeding the advice of health professionals. That's all we're doing. If the health professionals say, hey, you know, it's time for, it's gone, we're safe. Hey, I'm the first one to say, come outside, let's do this. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to get back to normal. That's not what they're saying. And everybody has to play a role in keeping the spread of this down, because it's going to overload the system, the hospital system.
It certainly is. And you talk about families. I talked with a woman earlier this week from Crown Point about the illnesses that she was going through. And she had tested negative for the flu. She had tested negative for strep, tested negative for RSV. She was finally able to get tested at a private lab in Couts. She's still awaiting those results. But in the meantime, while she's self-quarantining at home, she's got two children and a husband at home. Children start showing some symptoms similar to what she had. I just talked to her just a couple of days ago to check in and see how she's doing. She said the kids were feeling better. She was feeling better, starting to turn the corner, but she still won't know for another day or two as to whether or not she gets a positive test. But despite that two-week quarantine, a couple of the days later, her children start to show symptoms. Her quarantine starts all over again. And so if you live with multiple people and somebody is sick, you're also quarantined for the full duration when they have symptoms, when you have symptoms, in order to go ahead and avoid this spread. So experts are talking about wanting to make sure that you're stocked up for a month's worth of food and groceries, making sure that you can maybe order and have fresh produce delivered to your doorstep, and that way you don't have to go out, so that way you can still have that available food ready for you. And, my family and I earlier this season battled the norovirus at our house, and it was a big wake-up call to make sure that I've got food prepared already. If you've got a big space for a freezer, I would definitely make some soups, some chilies, some stews, maybe some quiches. Make food that's easily reheatable in the oven or in a microwave that you can go ahead and just put in there for a while. You don't have to worry about that way. You're not trying to make yourself food all the time, especially not being able to run out to a restaurant to dine in. Of course, a lot of them all doing pickup and carryouts. But again, trying to limit the interactions with people, you don't always necessarily want to do that either.
That's right. And we do know people's disposable incomes are probably, they're going to want to hold on to it. So that's another dilemma facing restaurants, even if they're offering grab and go. But we're in the early stages of this, where people might still have some money set aside to hey, head down to your favorite restaurant here and there. I know I go to Maxim's a lot in Merrillville, and there's the Grand Park Cafe right near us in Lakeshore, yeah. And there's pizzas everywhere. So when we come back on Lakeshore, we're going to talk to the owner of a coffee shop in Gary to find out what is it like to run a restaurant in this time of the coronavirus. And then later on in the show, we want to hear from restaurants who may have that special meal or something today. Give us a quick update. We're talking about a round robin of 1 to 2 minutes. You're on the air. You tell us what are your specials today when we come back on Off Mic.
Most major sports have canceled events for the foreseeable future, but the Summer Olympics, it's still on.
By telling athletes to continue to go out and train, all they're doing is mixing messages with the restrictions that are being put in place by governments around the world that are being hit by coronavirus.
Olympics and the coronavirus, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tune in today at 4 o'clock for All Things Considered here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
From celebrity interviews to upcoming local entertainment events, Midwest Beat has you covered. Music, art, comedy, magic, Tom Lounges has covered it all. Join Tom Lounges on Midwest Beat as he continues to get you the latest stories on all your favorite artists and your favorite you haven't heard yet. Listen to Midwest Beat every Friday at 1 and again at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Indiana is in the grips of the coronavirus outbreak, and there's a lot of news to keep up with. I'm Matt Pelser. Next time on All In, we'll help break down what happened this week with our digital producer. And yes, a lot of it will have to do with the pandemic, but we'll also learn about a children's book on early spring flowers you can find in Indiana, because we can still enjoy the outdoors. And we'll check in on a big project in Westfield that'll help bring the universe down to earth. Join us. Join us every day at noon here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
When you want to know what's going on with a friend, you go to them directly because you want the full picture. It's the same reason you turn to your public radio station for your political news. Every day, reporters at NPR and this station go straight to the sources and ask the questions you need answered. Know what's going on in the country and in your community. 2020 election, it's time to listen.
Listen every day right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Michael Puente, a very sore mouth of Michael Puente, with my guest host for today, Lakeshore Public Radio's Tom Maloney.
Hey, Tom. I believe it's El Guapo.
El Guapo, that's right. That's right. Well, listen, we're in this age of the coronavirus, and a lot of restaurants and bars and coffee shops are having to deal with this new normal too, where people can't just hang out over there. So we have a business owner in Gary. Anna Martinez is the owner of Anna's Cubacha Cafe in Miller in Gary, Indiana. Anna, how are you doing?
Hey.
Are you there?
I'm so sorry. I'm getting a call on my other line, but I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. So how does a coffee shop owner deal with this, coronavirus that we're dealing with?
Day by day, basically. What we started, like when we first started hearing about this, we would deep clean everything day and night, constantly clean counters. And just to lower all possible risk, we decided to lock the doors, keep the doors locked, and only take phone in orders. And we'll either meet you at the door or we'll go to your car. We've delivered some food. So, I mean, we're really just doing whatever we can to stay afloat and stay alive and relevant here.
That's right. So tell me how, tell us a little bit about your cafe.
Yeah, so it's Anna's Kombucha Cafe. We're here on Lake Street, 624 South Lake in the Miller area of Gary. Typically, our typical days are breakfast and lunch, 8 to 4, Wednesday through Sunday. We try to make most things from scratch here. We really try to emphasize good quality food in an affordable way. And I make kombucha. I'm a kombucha brewer. I'm one of the only ones in Northwest Indiana. And I have wholesale accounts throughout Northwest Indiana, Michigan, and Illinois, but even with the coronavirus happening, you know, some people have stopped ordering or have pulled out for a little while.
I bet. Yeah. So we are going to be encouraging other restaurant owners to call if you have a drive-up menu special today. You can call into the show 219-769-9577. That's 219-769-9577. And we'll give you 1 or 2 minutes to tell us what your specials are today if you drive up. Anna, if people who aren't familiar, what is kombucha?
It's a fermented tea. So it's a probiotic-rich fermented tea, good for gut health, helps with digestion. It's a probiotic, helps give you natural energy. So it's a health drink. And we make 5 different flavors that we usually have on draft that rotate here at the cafe.
And so people, you know, they get into a sort of routine. People come in, they want to talk, they want to relax. I'm sure there are people out there who are saying, you know, I need to get a fix of my kombucha tea. Are they able to do that right now at the cafe?
They are. I am getting calls every day, which is great. It feels really good. And we are just doing everything that we can, like I said. We deliver, we'll meet you at the door, whatever you want us to do, whatever you're comfortable with, we're comfortable with. You know, that's our biggest goal here is to just make sure that everybody feels safe and comfortable in the environment.
You know, everybody's dealing with sort of uncertainty. Is there something new that you're not only as a business owner, but as a mom or as a wife, you're having to confront as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm the mother of 2 teenage boys and a 20-something-year-old daughter. So, I mean, that's a whole different story. And, you know, it's hard to get some people to realize that are younger, like how, you know, we all have to do our part. And trying to juggle a business and also be a mom who, you know, is being a good mom, it's a challenge right now. It's definitely a challenge.
So, Anna, one question for you is, are you looking towards the future at all? We're hearing reports now coming out that we're going to be seeing really high levels and possibly and probably record levels of unemployment. Are you worried at all being in the service industry, what that might do for your business and how might things look for you in the not so distant near future?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, my summer was really gearing up to be, my best year for my business. And that's definitely kind of taken a turn because my summers are spent at a lot of farmers markets, and that is actually a really big bulk of my income. And then I just had hired 2 new girls to, you know, help with the cafe. So I unfortunately had to lay those 2 girls off, and it's me and Alyssa, who is my chef, and she's amazing. And so right now, all I can promise is, you know, we are trying to keep afloat so that she is also a mother, keep our kids fed, keep our bills paid, you know, keep our rent paid here and all, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't know. We've cut staff and it's just the 2 of us at this point.
All right. Okay, Anna, we thank you very much for joining us here today on Off Mic again. Anna's Kombucha Cafe, fermented tea. Go there, get some. It's healthy, so you're going to need to stay healthy during this time. And again, when we come back, we're going to talk. A lot of kids are at home. They're getting bored. We're going to talk to the head of the Porter County Tourism Bureau to tell us what are some of the activities they can do still in their backyard during this time. And again, if you're a restaurant owner and have some type of special carryout special, you're going to want to call into the show and give us the lowdown. 219-769-9577. 219-769-9577. And we'll be back with more Off Mic.
When you want to know what's going on with a friend, you go to them directly because you want the full picture. It's the same reason you turn to your public radio station for your political news. Every day, reporters at NPR and this station go straight to the sources and ask the questions you need answered. Know what's going on in the country and in your community. 2020 election, it's time to listen.
Listen every day, right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
From celebrity interviews to upcoming local entertainment events, Midwest Beat has you covered. Music, art, comedy, magic, Tom Lounges has covered it all. Join Tom Lounges on Midwest Beat as he continues to get you the latest stories on all your favorite artists and your favorite you haven't heard yet. Listen to Midwest Beat every Friday at 1 and again at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Indiana is in the grips of the coronavirus outbreak, and there's a lot of news to keep up with. I'm Matt Pelser. Next time on All In, we'll help break down what happened this week with our digital producer. And yes, a lot of it will have to do with the pandemic, but we'll also learn about a children's book on early spring flowers you can find in Indiana, because we can still enjoy the outdoors. And we'll check in on a big project in Westfield that'll help bring the universe down to earth. Join us. Join us every day at noon here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Most major sports have canceled events for the foreseeable future, but the Summer Olympics, it's still on.
By telling athletes to continue to go out and train, all they're doing is mixing messages with the restrictions that are being put in place by governments around the world that are being hit by coronavirus.
Olympics and the coronavirus, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tune in today at 4 o'clock for All Things Considered here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente with Tommy Maloney here today from Lakeshore Public Radio. You know, a lot of children are at home, and they're going to be spending a lot of time at home because schools are going to be closed in Indiana at least until May 1st. So what does that mean in terms of staying active and still getting in some exercise and stuff? So we're going to be talking right now to Lorelei Weimer. She's the head of the Porter County Tourism Bureau. Lorelei, how are you?
Good. Thanks for including us on the show today.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for joining us. So we were talking earlier a little bit about activities for children, especially during this time when so many of them are going to be at home and probably bored, but trying to get them off the Xbox and get off that couch and just watching the movies, that's going to get old, especially for the parents. So what are your suggestions?
You know, one of the things, Michael, that we're known for is our outdoor recreation. You know, we have the Indiana Dunes National Park and the Indiana Dunes State Park, and both of those parks are open. The restrooms are closed at the National Park, you know, so be mindful of that. However, the trails are open, and what a great opportunity to go out and experience some of the trails. Fresh air is what we've learned can be a really good thing in times like this, as well as you can keep that social distance, you know, on the trails themselves. So we're encouraging people to kind of explore the trails that are in their backyard. You can go to indianadunes.com, and we have a wealth of information on just the different opportunities within the destination. But that trail and getting out in the dunes and getting out into nature, I think, is really important. The other thing is that the Indiana Dunes National Park has a junior ranger program. So if you do a search on the web and go to Indiana Dunes National Park, start searching out their youth and kids programs, and it gives some great ideas as well. And then the final thing, Michael, is if you go to indianadunes.com, which is our website, we just printed a new kids guide that has also been put online digitally. And I think that's a great guide for families to get and look around and see what they can do now and also plan for the future for some other things to do when, you know, things start to really calm down with the coronavirus.
That's right. People think that, you know, they are asking for social distancing, but people, as of right now, there is no lockdown order. So until there's one, you might as well take advantage of the weather. Seems to be getting a little bit warmer, a little chillier this morning. Yesterday was, about 60 degrees. So people are going to want to try to take advantage of being out just for a little bit, not in big groups. But like you're right, people can go out there, they can hike, and there's still some activities they can do while they can still do it.
Absolutely. And the other thing we encourage, we started a program. It's not our program. It's actually the National Park program. But we've been working with the National Park last year on the drop-in volunteer program, you know, because we would have visitors come in and they wanted to volunteer, and they're like, what can we do, you know, while we're here? And so we would encourage them to go out on the trails or out on the beach and pick up trash. And, you know, when you come off of winter, there's a lot more trash out there, you know, just just because of the elements. And so that's another great thing families can do that is going to make a difference, right? Walking around your communities and just helping pick up trash and make everything look a little cleaner and nicer. So those are just some things where you can actually give back to the community.
That's right. Lorelei, I do have to ask you this. Obviously, tourism is kind of one of those industries in Northwest Indiana that are probably going to be suffering under this COVID-19. What are we hearing in terms of hotels in Porter County? What's their status right now?
Well, what we know is that this is our industry is getting hit the hardest. I mean, as you know, when we're asking people to not, we don't want people to travel just because of the COVID-19. I mean, there are probably some groups that are out there, like construction workers, there's truck drivers and so forth. So we know this is hitting our hotels, our restaurants, our retail shops very hard. And there are restaurants that are open, and we're encouraging, you know, people, locals, to just, you know, if you can get some takeout food, that would be helpful, you know, during these times. And I think the other thing that's been really positive, Michael, that I've been seeing is, say, for example, a restaurant decides that they're not going to stay open and they're just going to close until this whole thing passes. They're supporting the other restaurants and, you know, making sure that people know, hey, here are the other restaurants that are open. And what has been so great is just to see how everybody is truly working together to support each other. And I think, you know, sometimes in these crises, there are some silver linings that come out of it. And that's one of them, where people know that we are in this together and what can we do to help each other out. And we're seeing that take place right now.
That's right. That's right. Lorelei, every time I talk to you, you just got such a positive energy about you, too. So I know, but this is, you know, very trying time. But again, could you give us a little bit more information on your offerings on your website?
Absolutely. So IndianaDunes.com, we have digital guides out there. We have our Outdoor Adventures Guide. We have our Activities Guide. You know, these are some things for people to just look at. We have a great YouTube channel. So when you go to our website, you know, go check out the videos that we have done. We produced the Dunes 101, which has been a series that I think we had 68,000 people view that last year. And it gives you the ins and outs of the dunes themselves. So there's just a lot of resources. And Michael, what we have found in the years that I've worked here, what we find with residents is they are pleasantly surprised by a lot of the things that are in their own backyard. You know, sometimes we take for granted what we have, you know, in our own area. And, you know, I'm excited to live in Porter County. There are so many wonderful things to do, and we have that information on our website. So as we're kind of hunkered down, what a great opportunity just to kind of look at some of the things we have in our backyard, things that you can do now while we're in this situation, but then things to maybe plan ahead for and be excited about when we do get through the crisis, and maybe get excited when your friends and relatives come and you can show off what you have in your own communities.
That's right. Well, Lorelei Weimer is the head of the Porter County Tourism Bureau. Lorelei, thank you so much for being here on Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Well, again, Michael, thank you so much for allowing us this time.
No problem. And when we come back, there is still some, believe it or not, some sports to talk about. And we'll get right now we just had a hand sanitizer session. You can never have too much hand sanitizer, you know, and washing the hands 20 seconds. Maybe this song that we're playing, you know, from Queen, late Radio Gaga, the theme song, maybe that's going to get in your head and you play that in for 20 seconds when you're washing your hands. Okay, we'll be back with more Off Mic with Cheryl Ray Stout.
When you want to know what's going on with a friend, you go to them directly because you want the full picture. It's the same reason you turn to your public radio station for your political news. Every day, reporters at NPR and this station go straight to the sources and ask the questions you need answered. Know what's going on in the country and in your community. 2020 election, it's time to listen.
Listen every day, right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
From celebrity interviews to upcoming local entertainment events, Midwest Beat has you covered. Music, art, comedy, magic, Tom Lounges has covered it all. Join Tom Lounges on Midwest Beat as he continues to get you the latest stories on all your favorite artists and your favorite you haven't heard yet. Listen to Midwest Beat every Friday at 1 and again at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Indiana is in the grips of the coronavirus outbreak, and there's a lot of news to keep up with. I'm Matt Pelser. Next time on All In, we'll help break down what happened this week with our digital producer. And yes, a lot of it will have to do with the pandemic, but we'll also learn about a children's book on early spring flowers you can find in Indiana, because we can still enjoy the outdoors. And we'll check in on a big project in Westfield that'll help bring the universe down to earth. Join us. Join us every day at noon here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Most major sports have canceled events for the foreseeable future, but the Summer Olympics, it's still on.
By telling athletes to continue to go out and train, all they're doing is mixing messages with the restrictions that are being put in place by governments around the world that are being hit by coronavirus.
Olympics and the coronavirus, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tune in today at 4 o'clock for All Things Considered here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Michael Puente, with Tom Maloney here from Lakeshore Public Radio. And, you know, we've been giving you the latest numbers and updates on this COVID-19 palooza show that we're having. But one of the things that we want to talk about a little bit, and it's going to be somewhat coronavirus related because it's affecting, we can't go to the movies, we can't do this and that, and it's sports. And believe it or not, there is some sports to report. And so we're going to bring in veteran superstar radio god reporter Cheryl Ray Style. How you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that introduction.
Absolutely. We always love having you here on Off Mic. Well, Cheryl, believe it or not, you know, I guess people are still assuming that the world's going to continue at some point and get back on. So there's some news to report in terms of our Chicago Bears.
There sure is. They have now acquired Nick Foles from Jacksonville. He, of course, won the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's very familiar with Matt Nagy and the coaching staff because they've all worked with him at different places. The Bears only gave up a fourth-round draft pick, so we will see Mitchell Trubisky get some competition there. The Bears released Leonard Floyd, and then they signed Robert Quinn from the Dallas Cowboys. They signed Jimmy Graham, the tight end that was he's long in the tooth right now, but they signed him. But they did lose some players. They lost Ha-Ha Clinton Dix to Dallas, and today they did sign Deion Bush. So there's lots of moving parts going on right now with the Bears.
You know, Cheryl, how should Mitch Trubisky take the signing of Nick Foles? Obviously, though, when Mitch was brought in, Mike Glennon had just been signed, so I guess it's kind of like role reversal now. Should we assume that Mitch is not going to be the starter next year?
I think what they'll do is they'll have competition, and I think Nick Foles, if he wins the competition, he'll be the starting quarterback. I think this is good for Mitchell Trubisky to, you know, reassess himself to see if he is the quarterback that they expected him to be. But to me, it looked like Matt Nagy needed to have a quarterback that he knows his system and that he's worked with and understands the system, because the Bears are in a must-win situation right now because the window's open. And you know, Michael, it closes real fast if you don't do things right.
Cheryl, what kind of an impact is one less preseason game going to have on that competition factor between Foles and Trubisky?
Well, the interesting thing, since Matt Nagy's been there the last 2 years, he doesn't believe in using his starters in preseason games. So, as far as its season goes, that's not until the following year. But the thing with Matt Nagy, he doesn't use them. He looks at what happens in practices. That, to him, has more input as what his decision is going to be. So I think that's what we'll have to watch closely. And now that they're not going to be at Bourbonnais, they're going to be at Lake Forest, it's going to be the media that's actually going to be able to see more than anybody else as far as the competition.
That's right. Cheryl, you know, I mean, you know, we're thinking into the future. Obviously, we're hoping this COVID-19 worked its way out with minimal impact to, I mean, we're already seeing its major impact, but get out sooner rather than later. And we're think of football as a fall sport, but we do know they have to train, and training camp starts up in July, which doesn't seem too far away. Have the football teams been talking about how they're going to deal with this COVID-19?
Well, it's not just that, Michael. It's the fact that you have the draft, which is next month. You also have mini camps, and those mini camps actually set the tone for what you're going to do in practices for their training camp. So there is an impact here, and we don't know what they're going to do. I know the league is monitoring very closely, because the fact is they can't even do one-on-one workouts with players that they want to draft. So a lot of things are in flux, and I really think it could impact what happens as far as training camp goes, because everything's being pushed back. We look at the major sports right now. The earliest possibility for baseball is going to be June. We don't even believe that there's going to be an NBA or NHL regular season, played at this point. So it will impact the NFL, and we will see some decisions have to be made. They may have to, they just have the collective bargaining agreement agreed to just a few days ago. So that's going to be interesting to see will they make training camp less? Will they reduce the days? Will they make the teams have to maybe monitor players even more? Because when you reduce anything like that, you also have to be concerned about injuries. And injuries in the NFL is more costly than almost any sport.
Cheryl, throughout COVID-19, we've been seeing a lot of media transitions to go ahead and cover this, including some sports sections kind of condensing a lot of what they're doing, moving to different parts of newspapers. How are your colleagues in the sports reporting world kind of, I guess pun intended, fielding COVID-19? Are they still, putting out regular stories and features about athletes and sports and what teams are doing? Or do you see a lot more reporters maybe switching over and covering more breaking news or general news about coronavirus and COVID-19?
I really think it depends on the outlet. The all sports stations, they're in a quandary, anything like that. But I've worked in news departments before when I was in sports, and I always transitioned over to news. In fact, I'll give you a short story. I was up at the Bears covering a press conference with Dennis McKinnon having an all-out battle with the defensive coordinator, Vince Tobin. I get a phone call. I had to go down to City Hall because Harold Washington had died, and I had to go cover that. So you are a reporter no matter what you cover, arts, sports, news. And so you put that hat on and you cover it. But I think when you look at the all sports outlets, they're in a quandary. They're making up games, and they're going looking at back in time with certain celebrations and things like that. I think they're in the hardest spot. But if you work with a news organization in your sports, you transition easier. And I've seen a lot more reduction. Of course, the newspapers they've reduced their sections. The television broadcast has reduced the time, and that's you expect that. I also worked during the Gulf Wars, and what I would do is I would do features. I would this may sound kind of macabre, but I would also look at maybe I have to do an obit ready for somebody, because you want you do things like that to adjust to what's going on, and then things go back to normal at some point.
Cheryl, and talking about sports, a lot of stations going back in time and remembering the past. 25 years ago, Cheryl Ray Stout broke one of the biggest stories in the world when one Michael Jordan announced he's returning. And guess who broke it? Cheryl broke it.
Yeah, that was quite. See, I broke the story about him playing baseball, and when I go back to 25 years ago, I was at the Birdle Center. And that's up in Deerfield. And I was one of the only reporters. There was only five of us covering at that time because people just jumped off the beat because the Bulls were not what they were before. And the curtain was down, and I heard a lot of activity going on. And I'm going, that's a Jordan practice. I knew that. Mentally I knew that. But I also got a phone call from somebody from Florida saying that Michael Jordan had left the White Sox training camp because it was the strike was still going on, and they wanted him to go from the minor league camp to the major league camp, and he refused. He did not want to cross the picket line.
Wow.
I also got a phone call from a player's friend who called me up and said, Michael's there. So I had this information, and I was able to quietly do it without anybody else knowing. I asked Phil Jackson if he was there. He said yes. B.J. Armstrong admitted to me that, too, and gave me more information. So with all that, I was able to break the story.
That's great. Well, Cheryl Reistow, you can hear all of her reports on WBEZ Radio. Cheryl, always great to hear from you on the radio, and please stay safe. We need you.
Thank you, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Cheryl. All right, and we'll stay here. We still got a few more minutes. We'll take a break, and we'll come back for with more Off Mic.
When you want to know what's going on with a friend, you go to them directly because you want the full picture. It's the same reason you turn to your public radio station for your political news. Every day, reporters at NPR and this station go straight to the sources and ask the questions you need answered. Know what's going on in the country and in your community. 2020 election, it's time to listen.
Listen every day, right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
From celebrity interviews to upcoming local entertainment events, Midwest Beat has you covered. Music, art, comedy, magic, Tom Lounges has covered it all. Join Tom Lounges on Midwest Beat as he continues to get you the latest stories on all your favorite artists and your favorite you haven't heard yet. Listen to Midwest Beat every Friday at 1 and again at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Well, welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. We got about 5 more minutes into the program, and we wanted to sort of update you on the latest numbers here in Indiana as it stands with COVID-19. This morning, the Indiana State Health Department reported that Indiana now has 79 confirmed cases of COVID-19. That's up 23 from just yesterday when it was 56. There's 554 people that have been tested, and unfortunately, Indiana has recorded 2 deaths as it relates to COVID-19. Lake County itself has 6 cases. That's up from 4 from just yesterday. And the total for the 6-county region that makes up Northwest Indiana, Lake Porter, LaPorte, Stark, Jasper, and Newton, there's 7 cases. One in LaPorte County, none in Porter County, but the LaPorte County case is actually being treated at a LaPorte County hospital. And there's always a lot of news in and out of Indiana, so I would stay pay attention to the news. The Indiana primary has been moved from May 5th to June 2nd. And taxes have been extended for 90 days for you to file your taxes. Tommy, with Tommy Maloney, Tom Maloney of Lakeshore Public Radio, helping me out today's broadcast. Pretty busy news week.
It really has been. I don't think I've stopped for about a week and a half at this point. I know a lot of other reporters haven't either. You can watch this on Facebook Live as we're wrapping up, but we are at least 6 feet apart from each other right now in studio,
right,
keeping the social distancing up, and again, just paying attention to government officials, and making sure that you're keeping your homes, and if you're still at work, keeping work areas clean and sanitized, washing your hands, and just making sure that we're kind of all looking out for each other right now in really strange, strange times.
That's right. We were just talking to Cheryl Reistow about sports and everything. It just dawned on me, and of course, Major League Baseball isn't happening, but one of the perfect sports for social distancing is baseball. You can get out there with a glove and play catch. You're going to be 6 feet away. So if you need an outdoor activity, grab a glove with your kid or a softball and throw the ball around. If you hit a home run off of them, don't tap them on the butt like you usually
do. Right, yeah. It's a weird new normal, but it was great to hear from the Porter County Tourism Department because, you can still get outside. You can still go running. You can still go hiking. Just don't do it in groups and make sure you're keeping 6 feet away from each other, that kind of a thing. So don't go sign up for a 5K or anything like that. But, you can still get out. You can still go for a walk. It's really important to go ahead and try to as much as possible, even if you are working from home, the kids are home as well, making sure that you're keeping up really sort of a normal day-to-day operation, having breakfast, showering, getting ready, and going about it.
Oh, that's right. You have to keep up your – personal hygiene, especially right now. And remember, if you think you may have COVID-19, the coronavirus, you need a doctor's order to get it tested. And one of the two testing facilities right now is in Franciscan Health in Michigan City. They're also supposed to have it in Crown Point. It's a drive-up service where you don't get out of your car. They test you while you're in your car, but you do need a doctor's referral for that. So go get your doctor's referral and get out there. So we got a few more seconds here. We're trying to wrap it up. But just remember, let's not worry about how this happened. Let's deal with it now. You don't have to live in fear, but you do have to live smart. Well, so I want to thank everybody here at Lakeshore Public Radio who's been just outstanding. Dee Donton, Jose Rodriguez, Chris Nolte, Tom Maloney, Nikki. We have so many people. James Muhammad over here. So thank you, and thank you for listening.